Today's episode marks the one-year anniversary of the start of this channel and podcast. It is also 25 years since Norm left us. I hope that you enjoy listening, share in the many laughs and smiles, and maybe even shed a tear or two. I know I have. I will continue to work hard to bring you content with some plans and ideas for this channel that I hope will entertain you as we begin year two. Like, subscribe, and share across all the platforms. It really helps. I'm considering starting a Patreon where you could support the channel. A portion of that revenue would go to support the Norm Nathan Scholarship Fund at the Berklee College of Music. We shall see what the next year brings. Now let's wind it back to the penultimate day of October. October 30th, 1993, for a dumb birthday game and then a Norm Nathan Show post-game hour. Our players: Hillary from Upper Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and love may be in the air. Phil from Mount Forest, Canada, with breaking news that Canada is changing its name. Mike in Medford with a question for Phil. Barry in Worcester. Mike Epstein producing and playing. Sid Whitaker producing and playing. And Jack Hart in his traffic suite, adorned with birthday easy chairs, charts, and where he does his birthday ups exercises, which clearly pay off in this game. The birthdays and events in history: Henry Winkler, Grace Slick, Louis Malle, and you know what that means, more French speak, Ruth Hussey, Harry Hamlin, and Timothy B. Schmidt. The events in history: in what year did Orson Welles do the War of the Worlds broadcast, which created panic? And then Muhammad Ali regained his heavyweight boxing title by knocking out George Foreman in the eighth round in what year? The post-game Norm Nathan Show, we get calls from Glenn in Brighton inquiring about Sid Whitaker's roots, but the tape switches sides and talk continues with Glenn about some other subjects, including a past dumb birthday game and, if you can believe it, considering the foolishness going on now, offensive Halloween costumes. Lisa with some details on Ruth Hussey. Larry in Westboro with a bewitching call. Jim from Rhode Island. Rob with a Floramos review. Betty in Sudbury, who would like Norm to talk about jazz to the seventh graders she teaches, in just the mere possibility is creating a buzz. And we close with Maria from New Hampshire. Norm mentions his ambition to play piano for booze. And we get some ribald casting spells jokes from the man with a body of well-tempered steel. The commercial content is as follows: Ovaltine, Marazine helping Arlene Trieg from Coquille, Oregon. There's an advertise on WBZ, voiced by Gary LaPierre. This time it's for Mr. Duplatron. And lastly, an Amtrak Kid Company combo commercial promo for the Geography Bee to Washington, D.C. Get ready. The one-year anniversary show begins now.
And what I do is I tell you who was born on this day. We're now into October 30th. Which, if you want to be fancy, you can say this is the penultimate day of October. Or if you don't want to be fancy, you can just say it's the next to the last day of October. Either way. I actually went to the David Brutnoy School of using more words than you need. So I say penultimate just to be really... be snotty, if I think is the word I'm looking for. Okay, we have Hillary from Pennsylvania playing the game with us. Hi, Hillary.
Hi, Norm. You're very charming tonight.
Oh, really?
You always are.
No, something depends. You know, you're charming, so how can I not be? Also, here's who else you're playing with, Hillary. Where in Pennsylvania are you, by the way?
Upper Bucks County.
Upper Bucks County sounds so romantic and lovely.
It is.
Okay. I bet the foliage was particularly incredibly beautiful this year.
Oh, gorgeous, Norm. Just gorgeous.
Oh, Hillary, I want you so bad. Okay. Anyway, here's...
I'm already nervous.
I'm glad you did. What's that?
I'm already very nervous.
I thought but that would relax you a little, but that makes you more nervous. I'm so glad. I never had that kind of power over women. Usually they got... I say that and they start to laugh like, oh, come on. You know, that kind of a laugh.
I better take another drink of water. Okay, go ahead.
I'll take a Valium. Just try to relax a little bit. Have something to drink, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I am really bad. Phil up in Canada. Hi, Phil.
Hi there, Norm.
And you're in Upper Bucks County, Canada, I understand.
No. Hey, Norm, can I tell you the proper way to introduce a Canadian?
Please do.
Okay, the next time somebody from Canada calls, you say, "And now, folks, from home of the World Series champions 2 years running, it's Phil."
Okay.
We don't use Canada anymore. We just go with the long title.
Okay, that's right. And maybe the home of the world champion Toronto Maple Leafs.
Don't know you.
Well, I don't know about that part of it. Anyway, where in Canada are you?
I'm in Mount Forest.
Mount Forest?
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
I talked to you last week just before the big game, remember?
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that very well. And the big game came out in your favor.
Yeah.
What an incredible game.
But I wasn't there.
You weren't the one who turned down the tickets, were
you?
Oh,
that's right, too. Yeah, you said, why go way up there where they look like little dots when you can stay at home?
I watched Joe Carter hit that from the comfort of my bed. I just peeked my head above the covers and saw it sail over, and I hit the remote, and the TV was off, and
it was
a great experience.
You don't feel unhappy over the fact that you were not right there live and in person when he did that, and, you know, no, you obviously don't feel guilty about that at all.
No, I'm a little disappointed about it. I thought that it would go to 7 games. That was really why I didn't go.
It was a fluke.
I'm a Phillies fan.
It was a fluke.
Somebody would think you came from Philadelphia or something, Hillary.
Well, about an hour away, yes.
No.
It's pretty windy there.
No, I'm just joking. If you're from Pennsylvania, obviously, I would assume you'd be rooting for the Phillies. I was sort of voting for them, too. It's not that I don't like the Blue Jays, because we have a lot of people who call from Ontario, and because we have a lot of people from Pennsylvania, too. But the Phillies are an old team, and there's so many expansion teams or teams that have moved, and the Philadelphia Phillies never have. They're still in the same place that they were when I was a kid watching them play the old Boston Braves. And the Red Sox are that kind of a team. So I sort of fell for the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, Hillary's voice is cuter than yours, Phil.
That's how I go
for my sports. Totally unscientifically. Mike in Medford. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Norm. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. Is this your first crack at the game, or have you done this before?
I've done this before.
So you're a pro, then. We don't have to give you any rules or anything.
Yeah, I have a question for Phil, though.
Okay.
Phil, did you guys like Ricky Henderson up there?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't like him before he came, and I didn't like him while he was here, and I'm really looking forward to not liking him wherever he goes.
You know, Phil, your doctor told us a while ago that you've got to learn to express yourself more.
You know what was nice, and everybody, a lot of people here in the United States talking about the fact that when the Toronto Blue Jays won the World Series, there were no riots breaking out. Everybody behaved themselves so well, and there was a lot of celebrating, but it was all done in a very, very nice way.
Well, there were a few incidents, but they weren't highly publicized. Apparently, four people were stabbed.
Oh, really?
But there was, probably a million people out partying, so when you look at the percentages, it's not, you know, it happened on that night, but I don't know whether it was related or not.
Yeah.
Apparently, in one of the sports bars, there was four stabbings that occurred.
Well,
like in one isolated area. That's the only thing I heard negative about it.
In one bar?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So I don't know whether there were some Philly fans or not, but that was, and I don't know whether or not that was like gang related or whether that was related to the World Series, but I saw that in the paper the night of the World Series, that the only serious call that they had that night was for those four stabbings.
That one bar, because there were no lootings or anything like that.
Yeah, which, there was not.
That had happened the year before.
Hey, Phil.
Yes. Right.
What do you think about Felix Potvin? Pretty good, huh?
Good but greedy.
Yeah, he's 9-0. No, he's 10-0 now.
10-0, yeah.
Okay, hey, listen, let me introduce you to another member of the panel. In fact, we have about two or three more. This is Barry, who's in Worcester. Hi, Barry.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
How do you spell Worcester?
Huh? By the way, Phil, the Red Sox intend to strip you of your title next year.
Oh, come on.
What, is that a AAA franchise, the Red Sox?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
By the way, you did goof on one thing, Norm.
Yeah?
If you went to the Baseball Hall of Fame at some point, you'd learn that the Red Sox were originally the Plymouth Rockers in the 1890s, and the Phillies were actually the Worcester Brown Sox.
The Red Sox are called the Beam in town.
It's funny how you go through life not knowing so many things. But actually, the Red Sox did have another name, but
yeah,
before I was a kid, even. So that goes back a bit.
This is in the 1890s.
Well, this was, yeah, this, I think, as a matter of fact, as I recall, John Quincy Adams was the president at the time. Sure, put me in my place, fella.
Oh, okay.
And Phil wanted to know how you spell Worcester, W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R. Doesn't everybody spell Worcester that way?
No, Worcester, Ohio spells it different.
Oh, that's Worcester. Isn't that W-O-O-S-T-E-R?
Yeah.
Anyway, let me introduce you to some other people here, because I'm just bubbling over with stars. Mike Epstein, who's our producer, is going to be playing the game with us. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike.
I'm right here, big guy.
Okay, and also we have Sid Whitaker, who's another producer. We have two producers through the night, because this is a big-time show.
Hey, Norm.
Well, no Tony, so that's good.
No, that's right. No, Tony's at home. He threatened to call in, but he didn't do that. And I was going to play the game. I guess he won't. We have Jack Hart, though, who's a very formidable foe. Eh, Jack?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because Jack, usually when Tony loses, Jack is the one who wins.
We take turns.
He's the expert.
Yes. Well, you think he's in the studio because he sounds like he is, but he's actually at the headquarters of the 24-Hour Traffic Network,
mm-hmm.
which is on the top of the Prudential Building. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And yes. I'm hanging on to an antenna on the roof right now, so if you hear the wind blowing, it's just me.
Just kind of flapping in the wind. Okay. And the reason I say that is because you're removed from the hustle and bustle of all the activity that's going on
during
the King Cantina, so you can relax and really... put your whole mind to these birthday things.
We have big, giant, easy chairs here and just birthday charts, and we do our birthday ups for hours.
Norm, before we get started, does it sound to you like someone has the radio on? It seems to me like I'm hearing, I'm hearing us 9 seconds later.
I hear it, too.
Not me.
No, but none of you have your radio on?
No.
Hang on a minute.
If you have your radio on?
Volume. Let's turn it on.
I think,
Norm.
Yes.
Don't you have anybody else on the panel?
No, that's not enough for you. You've got seven people.
I was thinking about getting Bill Clinton.
Did that do any good? No?
Yes, I think the music seems to be gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
you're going to do a Bill Clinton joke, are you?
Oh, no, I was just thinking about grabbing him on the panel.
Oh, that's right, too. He's not still in Boston, though.
No,
he's gone.
He left?
Yeah, he's not here now. But, of course, he could call. We call him, and we'll pick up the tab from the White House.
Hey, can I tell you one thing, Norm?
Sure.
He invented the thigh cream.
He invented the diet cream.
No, the thigh cream.
Oh, the thigh cream they're talking about. Yeah. Okay. Very good, Barry. I'm glad I asked you what. Mike. Who said that? Was that Mike? That was Mike. Okay. Henry Winkler has a birthday today, October 30th. The Fonz, born in New York City. Well, he went to Emerson College here, of course. He also got his master's degree from the Yale University School of Drama. His parents were refugees from Nazi Germany. I didn't know that. And they wanted him to join the State Department, but he ended up as a drama school graduate. He's most, of course, famous for his appearance as the Fonz on Happy Day. It says he's 5'6" tall. I don't know what that has to do with much. He produced MacGyver for 7 seasons. And how old do you suppose he is today? Henry the Fonz. Well, it's kind of funny to see him in a straight role. Because as Fonz, I guess it's sort of like seeing Carol O'Connor as Archie Bunker, then seeing him as the Southern sheriff. It's like two different people.
He was in some movie, Henry Winkler, where he was...
This was the mortuary?
No, this is some kind of a comedy he was doing.
Well, this was... As a boxer, the one and only?
Yeah. That. Thank you, Jack.
Oh, yeah, because he worked in a... This was the one about running a prostitute ring out of a... Morgue.
Yeah, with Michael Keaton and Shelley Long.
I missed that one.
That's right, yeah.
Good movie, very funny.
Okay, Hillary, how old do you suppose the Fonz is today?
I'll say 45.
Okay, and what do you think, Phil?
46.
And Mike?
I'm going to go with the number of 49.
Oh, that is so pedantic. The way you said that was just so nice. Barry, what do you think?
44.
Okay, and Mike?
I think he's 44.
Also 44.
Yeah.
Okay. And Sid, what do you say?
Norm, how tall did you say he was again?
Okay, that's because that is a clue, isn't it? He's 5'6". Little bit of a guy.
I'll say.
Yeah. Because we all tower so far above him.
Right.
I must be close to 5'7" myself.
At least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Towering. I'm going to say he's 47, Norm.
You're going to say 47, and I'm going to mark that down before I forget it. And Jack, what do you say?
He was about 70 when he started as the Fonz.
Yeah, he was much older than he looked. That's true. He wore a girdle and everything. The people don't know that.
Yeah. I'll say
sure,
he's...
Tell Jack that. Give him clues.
Those are the kind of clues you wouldn't want.
Let's see, 5'6" times a girdle. Multiply that by a few gray hairs covered up with some dye.
Divided by a leather jacket.
Divided by a leather jacket.
And
you know,
a motorcycle.
Multiplied by the power of the number of horsepower on the in the motorcycle.
And the number of times he put his thumbs up in that irksome bit that he was yapping. Yeah.
And the number of times he hit the jukebox.
There's a half an hour left of the game.
I know that. We better get on with it. We finally begun. Okay, what do you think, Jack?
48.
48 is exactly right. You knew all along, didn't you?
No.
You devil.
It was the girdle.
That was a guess.
It was the girdle.
Okay, because you all came very close. I mean, Sid said 47, and Phil and Mike said 49, which was close. Well, you all were very close. Very good. How about Grace Slick with the Jefferson Starship? Originally, of course, Jefferson Airplane. Her biggest hit was Miracles in 1975. There's a clue. 1975 was Miracles. She has a daughter, China, by guitarist Paul Kantner.
They were also at Altamont in 69 of the Rolling Stones.
You betcha. What do you say, Jack? How old is Grace Slick?
I'm just trying to do the math here real quick. So that'd be 24 years ago. 51.
51. Okay, and Sid?
I'll go with 48 this time.
48? Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Mike? Mike Epstein?
I think Grace is a very slick 49.
Wonderful play on words.
Well, wasn't that just
that
terrible?
That was awful.
That
really
that was so bad. I had to leave right now. You know, I had to just pack up.
No, I'll just turn you. You stay there. I'll just turn your microphone off so nobody will hear a word you say.
God.
Barry, what do you think?
51.
51, and Mike? Mike from Medford, that Mike?
Yeah, hey, Norm, how you doing?
It's a little late for that kind of a greeting, isn't it? Hey, Norm, how you doing?
I'm going to go with the clean, refreshing 51.
Oh, he's caught the Mike Epstein fever.
I think he has, yeah.
And Phil, what do you say?
Well, before Jack graced us with his answer of 51,
that's
what I was going to say, but I'll say 52 just to be different and wrong.
Okay, 52, different and wrong. I think that was one of her songs, too, was it not? Hillary.
I'll be the same and right, 51.
51. Okay. Those of you who said 51 are all the closest. She's actually 50. She's 50 today. Mike Epstein also... is close on the other side. He said 49. So we have Mike, both Mikes, Mike from Medford, Mike Epstein, Barry, and their lovely Hillary.
Oh,
so we actually had four wins. Oh, wait a minute.
Jack,
you didn't even say anything, Jack.
Sure.
No. I don't mean that. You said 51, but you didn't say, hey, I said 51 too. You were kind of quiet.
I was being gracious.
And gracious. Oh, that's good.
Beautiful.
Oh, that is nice. Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay, and anyway, we had the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 winners that time. Jack has got 2, and all the rest of you have 1, except for Phil and Sid, and they're just waiting to burst forth.
We're different and wrong.
How about Louis Malle, M-A-L-L-E, of France? He has made some American films.
Does that translate into Bad Louis?
I suppose so. Mal in French would be just plain M-A-L. I don't know about M-A-L-L-E. Would that be the bad woman? Bad woman, Louis? I don't know. His U.S. films include Goodbye Children or Au Revoir, Les Enfants, and Pretty Baby, La Bibi Belle.
Pretty good.
That's not too bad. I'm glad he didn't have any films a little more complicated than that. If he'd done a film called The Romance of Steel Ingots, I would have had some problems with that. We'll start with Mike from Medford. How old is Louis Malle?
Louis Malle.
Louis Malle, if you want to call it that way. It sounds like a place where the kids hang out. Hey, let's get on to Louis Malle. There are a lot of good-looking chicks that go by there after school each day. What do you say, babe? I'm sorry, I couldn't control myself on that one. Are you there, Mike, from Medford?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just, you know, figuring it out here. Give me a while.
Okay.
How about 55?
55. We'll mark 55 down on the big score sheet, which is now flashing in Medford Square. Not to mention outside the WBZ studios where Mike Epstein will now take a shot at the age of Louis Malle.
Can you give us a hint of when one of his films was released or anything like that?
No, Pretty Baby. Who was in that? Was that Brooke Shields? That was when she was a little kid.
L'enfant joli.
L'enfant joli. That was.
Okay, I'm gonna say.
That was like 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm gonna say he's 59.
59. No, that isn't 59, is it? Well, 59, we'll just I'll translate that back into English. What's that?
9.
You don't know either. Okay.
59.
I'm French and I don't even know it.
Okay, Jacques Coeur. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle.
Say he's 61.
60 what?
61.
61, huh? Okay, 61. Either that or you have a very bad sinus problem and a post-nasal drip. Or as we say in French, le drip de post-nasal.
Latvian influence.
Okay, everybody be quiet because I want to hear Hillary speak.
Ooh.
Stretch out your answer, Hillary, because you're the only woman on this panel.
Stretch it out.
Yeah.
Well,
easy, Mike.
I think he's 62.
Oh, I love the way you say that. 62. That was so nice. Why, of course I'll come over for breakfast if that's what you really mean. I'm reading between the lines.
You read my lines. Oh.
Barry, what do you say?
60.
60. And Phil?
May I have a clue?
Yes, here's one. Okay.
Oh, I just want to know whether or not this guy wears a girdle.
No, he does not wear a girdle.
Okay,
however,
in that case, he would be 64.
Oh, okay, because I was going to give you another clue. I was going to tell you he puts a little mask over his eyes at night so he can sleep better. But you would have, I think if I told you that, you would have said 64 anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Sid Whitaker and his orchestra. What do you think?
I think 65.
65? Did you say 65 or...
I did, yes.
Okay, 65. Okay, actually, Louis Malle is the same age as what Jack said. Does that make you suspicious of Jack? He is 61.
I'm not looking at anything. It's just pure.
I don't know. I hear papers rustling in the background there.
Well, of course I have paper here. What do you think? I keep my information straight.
He had the birthday almanac.
Yeah, maybe he does.
No, pure okay. luck.
Jack does seem to win an awful lot on this game.
He does, doesn't he? You know.
Every time I've ever listened.
No. Jack is a very intuitive man. Mm-hmm. It just comes to him out of nowhere. He just reaches out into thin air and grabs these numbers.
Yeah, actually, we all have specialties, don't we? His is guessing people's ages. He doesn't know a damn thing about traffic, for example. And nobody really cares, and he doesn't know much of anything about anything. But about birthdays and ages of people, the guy's a whiz.
Absolutely. You give me a name, I'll give you a birthday, whether I know him or not.
I think he has a spiritual advisor.
Okay, Jack.
Okay, how about Ruth Hussey? Do you know the actress Ruth Hussey? Her
sounds like a tart.
I was going to say.
Yeah, she is a saucy wench. She was born Ruth Carol O'Rourke in Providence, Rhode Island. She's one of our native New Englanders.
But she'd rather be a hussy.
She'd rather be a hussy. I wonder how she decided on that name, Ruth Hussey. Probably married Tom Hussey. Do you remember Tom Hussey?
No.
He pronounced it Hussey. I think she does too, Ruth Hussey. Tom Hussey was a broadcaster here in Boston, a very good one. He used to do, among other things, sports, and eventually did Red Sox games along with...
Going somewhere, Norm?
Kurt Gowdy. You know, I'm just... that's right. It has nothing to do with Ruth Hussey, does it? But I was just pointing out that apparently Hussey is an all-knowing name. And so how old is Ruth Hussey with her all-knowing name? Let's start with you, Barry, on Worcester, since you're an All New Englander yourself.
Oh, boy. You got me on that one.
Yeah, that's kind of tough. I don't even have...
Sure, what has she done?
I don't know. I don't have a list of movies by her or anything.
Yeah. How long ago did she marry Tom?
How long ago did she marry Tom?
What year did she marry Tom Hussey?
I think it was at a drunken Halloween costume party around 1941. Does that give you a clue?
Yeah.
The fact that she's not married to him and never was married to him or even related, so far as I know. Don't let that throw you off.
No, seriously, yeah. Give her about 65.
Okay. And what do you think, Hillary?
66.
Okay, Phil?
Just to be different and wrong. Let's say that she's a little bit older. Let's say she's 75.
Okay, and Sid, what do you think?
I'm going to go with 68, Norm.
Okay, what do you say there, Big Jack?
Oh, 57.
57. And Mike Epstein?
Yes. I'm going to say...
Would you go out and get me a sandwich?
I'm going to say 59.
Okay, and Mike from Medford, what do you say?
71.
71. Okay, actually, and I know this was tough because I didn't even tell you a movie or give you any clue. She's 79 today.
Wow.
Jeez. And so Mike from Medford.
Good job.
No, it's Phil from Canada. Right, Phil said 75. And so he was the closest. And so the only one who has not scored so far, and I hate to say this, and I'm looking right at him.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, Sid Whitaker. Yeah.
Come on, Sid. Mm.
I want to say we're rooting for you on this next one. Harry Hamlin. You know from L.A. Law?
Right.
You know which one he is?
No.
He's the one over there. I'm showing. See this picture?
Oh, yeah.
It looks like he's the one in the middle, although it looks like he's on the right, but it's an optical illusion. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was showing a picture of the Andrew sisters. So ignore that.
Oh,
jeez. We have somebody just yawned in a really boring kind of way.
Sorry, Big Norm.
I'm just a darn hurt. Okay, we'll start with you, Hillary. How old do you think Harry Hamlin is? Have you seen him on L.A. Law?
I've seen just a bit of the show. I never watched it.
Yeah, it's quite a good show, I believe. I believe it is.
I think Harry is...
44. 44. Okay. And what do you say, Phil?
May I generalize?
What does that mean?
Well, I would say that he's 40-something.
Oh, I see. You want me to just fill in the second number?
Well, that would cover from 0 to 9 in the 40.
I suppose it would cover, 40 to 49.
Okay, how about 41?
41. Okay. And Mike from Medford, what do you think?
46, please.
The number 46, please, goes up on the tote board.
Bingo.
And Barry, in Worcester, this number will go up on the bulletin board just outside of Clark University.
Why would you want to put it up outside Clark?
Because they're the only ones who allowed us to put up the electrical sign. We're zoned out of town every place else.
Well, if your electric sign's up in the West Boylston strip part of town, nobody would see it. I mean, you could die there for 4 years and nobody would know it. Oh, you heard about that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
46.
If you were going to have some drinks at Clark University, would you go to the Clark Bar?
Probably not.
Oh. No, I wouldn't. And myself, personally, no.
Actually, it's not the best neighborhood out here.
No, it really isn't, but it's a good school. Well, my oldest daughter graduated there. Nobody cares about that at all, do they? I thought you were so fascinated by every aspect of my life. You go, really? Oh, yeah. Anyway, Mike Epstein, what do you think? How old is Harry Hamlin? And when did he go to Clark University in Worcester?
42.
42, and the answer, of course, to the rest is never. He never went.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. No. Sid Whitaker, come on. This is time for you to win this one.
Sid, for company pride, Sid.
Yeah, for God's sakes, man. We don't want people to think we got a bunch of dumb producers around here.
Just the chips are on the table.
Oh, the chips. The pressure's on you right now. Hope it's not too much stress.
Oh, geez.
International pressure.
I don't know if I can hack it here. I'm going to go with 44, I think.
44, you think now. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll get the answer in just a moment as to whether you've embarrassed yourself and the entire Westinghouse operation or whether you've come through like a champion. But we'll have to ask Jack what his guess is for Harry Hamlin.
Harry the Pie-Eyed Piper Hamlin. 47.
47. Okay, the answer actually is 42.
Huh.
So Mike Epstein covered up for you, Sid, since he's... He sort of wanted for the producers on that.
Yes,
Team Westinghouse.
Yeah, but he you can tell he's disgruntled and says, why don't you carry your own weight?
Oh, gee, thanks, Mike.
Come on, Sid.
Boy, want to take this outside?
Come on now.
Okay. Timothy B. Schmidt. I know that sounds like I'm making it up.
I went to school with a Timothy B. Schmidt, I think.
Did you? Yeah. Well, he's the same guy.
Mike Schmidt's brother.
And he's related to John J. Jingleheimer.
Yeah. He's a bass guitar player. He's from Los Angeles. He was with two groups, Poco and also the Eagles. Does that help at all?
Yes,
God.
It does.
Mid to late 70s.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Mid to late 70s is when they were. Yeah, I remember. What was the big Eagles song?
Hotel California?
No, there was another one.
Take it easy.
Take
the Golden Year Surprise. No, that was America.
Yeah, no, take
Let It Ride.
Was America by the Eagles also?
No. I was just thinking Sister Golden Hair Surprise, but that was America.
That's
okay,
right.
Take it easy. I could remember playing that when I was a pop jock.
You're a pop jock?
I was a pop jock. I used to play that stuff for about 4 minutes until I was fired from that job. Okay, we'll start with Jew Jack, Timothy B. Schmidt.
Timothy B. Schmidt.
Timothy B. Schmidt.
Timothy B. Schmidt.
You love to say that, don't you, all of you? What a bunch of lemons we got in this game today.
I'll be saying that all day.
Timothy B. Schmidt. It sounds like Timothy B. Schmidt, Timothy B. Nimble, Timothy jump over the candlestick.
Can you say it 5 times fast, Norm?
No. I can't even say it 1 time fast.
Schmidt stuff.
Yeah. Being agile with words has never been one of my great specialties, you know.
It's just a cool name.
Yeah, Timothy B. Schmidt. And it's kind of interesting he uses the full name, Timothy, not Tim Schmidt. Timothy Hello, I'm B. Tim Schmidt. I'm
I wonder what the B stands for.
Yes, what does the B stand for?
Stands for no nonsense.
I think it stands maybe for like Barbara.
Or Bull, maybe Bull. How about Timothy Brian Schmidt?
All right, will you guys stop? Jack, how old is this guy here we're talking about?
Let's see. 48. 48.
Isn't it lucky they're giving us extra time? We'll go right till 5 this morning. Yeah. We can just fool around forever like this. Sid, what do you think? And again, the pressure's on you to finally get one, for God's sakes.
I know, I have to break my winless streak here.
Yeah, this is really bad.
Timothy B. Schmidt.
Nothing I can tell you about the swing that you take or anything to change your stance to do this. You just have to break out of a rut yourself.
I think I got
to
have
Chuck Berry was actually going to write a song about him, but he chose another one.
Who, about Sid?
No, about Timothy B. Schmidt, but he decided on Johnny B. Goode.
It was just a fact. Can you imagine how long this hard guy's been thinking of that joke, and he finally perfected it to that point and came out and had the guts to come out with it?
I polished it, I honed it,
and then spit it out, and it still sucked. But what the heck? I'm sorry. Sid, what do you think?
I think Timothy B. Schmidt is 46 years of age.
46 years of age. Okay. And Mike, what do you think?
I think he's,
Wait, Mike who?
Mike me.
Oh, Mike Epstein, yeah.
I think he's, I'm going to say 47 years of age.
47 years of age.
Yes.
And Barry, what do you think?
48.
48 years of age. And the Mike from Medford, Mike.
Big Schmitty is the big 5-0.
Well, I love the way you said that. You sound like a sportscaster. They talk that way.
I want to be one. I want to take your job, Norm.
You want to take my job, or do you want to be a sportscaster? You're gonna have to make up your mind, because we gotta know what department to send your application to. You know.
All right.
If you want to take my job, okay with me. I could be home sleeping now. I don't need this.
The ladies might not like that.
I know.
That's right.
Phil, what do you say? You're probably right, by the way, Mike. They probably wouldn't, because I have won my way into their hearts and the minds of America. Oh, shut up, Nathan. Phil, what do you think?
You say he played with the Eagles.
Yes, and Poco.
Eagles were one of, you know, the Eagles were one of my grandfather's all-time favorite bands.
Really?
Yes.
You're talking about the music group, the Eagles?
Yes.
Okay. And your grandfather followed them?
All-time favorite.
Yeah. There must be a second punchline of that joke. No, maybe you're being serious.
Hmm.
Okay. Timothy B. Schmidt.
We've heard that name before.
Because we've said it about 7,000 times.
Well, Jack's been right so far, so I'll just copy his answer and say 48.
48. Okay, and Hillary?
I think he's 47.
47. Okay, you copied Mike Epstein's answer.
I was going to say a very good guess, Hillary. Very
okay,
guess.
And you know who got it right on the button?
Jack?
Sid Whitaker.
All right, Sid. Let's have a round of applause for the big guy.
46. He's 46 years old today. Very good, Sid. You broke out of the...
Thank you.
Well, there'll be no stopping you now, man. You got a good eye for this now.
Wipe off
that
storm.
Cold sweat.
Does Sid and I have to have a playoff for last place?
Let's see. So far, we got Jack with 3, and Mike Epstein with 2, and everybody else has 1. Everybody has scored at least once. War of the Worlds. Remember, this is an event, and you tell me the year. It was on this date. But what year? Actor Orson Welles made his famous War of the Worlds radio broadcast. Near panic resulted when listeners believed the simulated news bulletins describing an invasion by Martians in New Jersey. Yeah, I wonder how picked New Jersey. I guess the show came out of New York, so that must have seemed like a far-off land.
Oh, New Jersey was the town that they... Grover's Falls, New Jersey, I think, was
Grover's
the...
Mill.
Grover's Mills.
Why'd they leave?
No, but why did they pick New Jersey for the
It was completely random.
Uh-huh.
They...
Pick for everything. I asked my mom where I was born, and she said New Jersey. Where did I come from?
And she
too said,
dirty
there. I don't know why I said that. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, families rushed into the streets using wet towels as gas masks. A woman in Pittsburgh. Oh, hey, in your home state there. Oh no, your home state is New Jersey, Hillary. That's right. A woman in Pittsburgh was found with a poison bottle, saying she would rather die this way. I wonder if she actually did die. It doesn't say.
It doesn't say we're left hanging?
Yeah, it says a woman in Pittsburgh was found with a poison bottle saying she would rather die this way.
Wow.
I guess she did die. $750,000 in lawsuits were filed against Wells. Doesn't say what happened with them. They did announce the fact that it was a dramatization. They mentioned
many,
it several
times.
Times.
A lot of local stations.
That's right.
CBS Network
did
too.
That's right. People didn't hear that. And they something like that, I guess, indicated the power of radio. Nobody realized how powerful radio could be till then.
Jeez.
I think I'd like to lie down too. Who's the yawning? Is that you, Mike?
Oh, no, not me.
Barry?
What?
Well, who's just yawning?
What? That wasn't me. It was Phil.
Oh, it was Phil? Was that you, Phil?
How can he tell from there?
Oh, we know your yawn.
Oh, yeah.
That was my oh-so-subtle way of saying, is there a question coming?
Phil,
I almost forgot what we were talking about.
Phil, this is kind of a... This is a fun moment, Phil. We don't... We don't stick to any specific rules. You see, we just kind of have fun and we talk too. See, that's part of it. If we were to just to get serious and just guess ages and dates and stuff, that wouldn't be much of anything, would it, Phil?
Norm, can I say something?
No, you can't. You said quite enough.
Can I say something?
No, let's get to War of the Worlds, the year of the War of the Worlds.
I apologize for yawning, but
okay, October 30th, and what year was that? We'll start with let's start with Sid Whitaker, who won the last round.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, my pleasure.
believe it was 1938, Norm.
1938, you believe, eh? What do you believe, Phil?
Well, it was on the radio last night, and Sid's, you know, kind of a producer, so I'd have to go with what he just said there. If he was the one that was spinning the record last night.
No, he wasn't.
No? I wasn't in last night.
Did they have it on this station?
Yeah, but Bob Raleigh played it to start his show off with.
He played the whole thing?
Yeah, we played it from midnight to about 1:20 or so.
Was that a good copy of that? Because I have copies at home that are kind of scratchy.
Well, it was a bit scratchy in parts, but it gave it that feel of being an actual show, from like watching it off a newsreel or something.
So that was Mike that played that then?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to move that Mike be disqualified from this question on the grounds that he probably...
That's a good idea.
Already knows the answer.
Okay, now which Mike are we talking about?
Talking about me, because I was here last night.
Okay, I tell you what. Now we'll include Mike. What the heck? I mean, the fact is Jack is so far ahead.
That's true.
Oh, no, but the Mike is only one. Well, you're right behind him, actually.
Yeah.
Hillary, we'll ask you then. What year do you think that was? War of the Worlds.
Well, I think I'll cheat and say 1938.
Okay, 1938. Of course, if you all say 1938, then everybody wins.
We'll all win anyway, yeah.
Yeah, Mike and Medford, what do you think?
Well, I'm not going with 1938.
I'm not going with 1938.
Strike out on your own, man.
I'm going with 1941.
1941, okay.
Yes, sir.
It's different, but it's wrong.
Yeah, same as the John Belushi movie.
That's right.
Barry, what do you say?
1932.
You say 1932. Okay, and Jack?
1938.
And Mike?
1938.
It is correct. Ooh. 1938 is correct.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. You guys know that.
Yeah, that 1930. So there were five winners of that. And we'll just do one more, although actually we do have a big winner already. We'll do one more. This is a... Muhammad Ali, it has to do with him. He regained his heavyweight boxing title. Remember, he had been heavyweight. And then I guess it was taken away from him because of the Vietnam War and he didn't serve and all that stuff. Right. He regained his heavyweight boxing title on this very day, October 30th, knocking out George Foreman in the 8th round of a scheduled 15-round bout in Zaire, Africa.
I know it.
Ringside seats were selling for $2,000. And that was October 30th, but what was the year? Who said they knew it? Who's that?
Mike from Medford.
Okay, why don't you go first then?
I'm going to say 78.
1978.
Yep.
Okay. And Phil, what do you think?
72.
72. All right. And Jack?
Let me see.
73. Okay, and Sid?
I'll say 74.
And what do you say, Barry?
75.
And Mike Epstein?
73.
And what do you think, Hillary?
I think it's very strange. He would not go to Vietnam, but he would beat people up.
Hillary, there's a difference between killing somebody and merely beating him up.
Well,
you can make a whole argument against boxing, I suppose.
Sure, he'll just cause brain damage, but killing him is out.
Well, if you figure the whole point... I'm sorry, what's that?
1972.
72, okay. Now, if you figure the whole point of boxing is to knock your opponent into unconsciousness... There's kind of a silly premise there, I suppose. But the actual year was 74, and that means that Sid Whitaker
I took
Sid,
another one.
You maniac.
Oh, all right.
Oh,
Sid,
darn it.
Sid, you're my man.
Oh, that's three in a row.
Sid, amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, right.
Good for you.
Came from nowhere, met his, caught up with his stride, and there he, anyway, that's it. And we and the extra winner is Jack Hart, who has four.
Mm.
But Sid and Mike Epstein both have three apiece.
Good job, son.
And the rest of you. And Phil has two, and so does Hillary. And Mike from Medford and Barry both have one. You all did very well. Yes, sir, you all did just that well.
Jesus,
just one, Norm, just one thing?
Sure.
One quick question for Jack.
Yeah.
One thing I had noticed is give him a name, and he knows how old you are. Old am I, Jack?
What's that?
Old am I.
How old are you? You're 27.
No, you missed.
Well.
How about 33?
Well, I was
I'm
close.
Older than that.
How about 74?
Sounds good to me.
Are you, you're older than 33?
44. Huh?
You're 44.
Oh, come on. Those are fighting words. 35.
Oh, you're 35.
I was close.
Yeah, you were.
I was only 8 years off.
I was two.
Oh, hey, Phil, thanks a lot for playing the game with us. Appreciate having you.
Yeah, I just want to tell you one thing that I can actually, from listening to talk show hosts, I can tell what their real name is.
Yeah?
And I'll bet you that Jack Hart's real name is, he strikes me as, a John.
You know, I get a little flushed every time I hear that. That's a lot of insight. Let's.
Am I right?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get rid of Phil and John both. thank you very much, John.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I just got rid of Mike at the same time. I hit the wrong thing here. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to clip him that badly. I hit the wrong button or something. And Barry in Worcester, thank you.
Okay, thank you, and have a good night.
You
or good
too.
Morning, should I say?
Good morning is good.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. And Hillary, now that I have you alone.
Yes?
I don't know what to do. It's been so long.
Anyway. Take care of your chickens.
Yeah, I'll take care of my chickens. Hey, thanks a lot for being with us today. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Good night, Norm.
Bye-bye now. And I guess we... Are you still there, Jack? Maybe he is, but there he's gone now. I haven't really mastered this whole technical stuff. Hey, Sid, thank you, and thank you very much, Mike Epstein.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Norm.
And we'll be back in a moment with a summation of my analysis. Have you ever watched Jerry Springer? There's another talk show, like we need more talk shows.
Yes, I have.
But he sort of adds a little more class because he sort of analyzes things a little more deeply, then gives his analysis at
he
the end.
He has a lecture at the very end of his show.
Yeah, yeah. I
it's
guess
the funniest
he's,
thing.
He used to be a... Was he? Somebody said he was the mayor of Cincinnati at one point.
I have no idea, but I think the man's a raving lunatic.
Do you like any of the talk show people?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Who?
But if not you, what, do you mean the serious talk show people?
No, I mean the ones who do, like, Jerry Springer-type shows, those kind, you know, Harry Bella, Gabriel, or whatever.
From a sheer entertainment point of view, I do watch Jerry sometimes because he's on in the middle of the night and I watch him.
Jerry Springer.
Yeah. And I watch him in Master Control over there. And I don't really go for that kind of a talk show too much.
I think it's always interesting when, one of the topics, one of the shows, I forget which show was the other day, mothers complaining about their daughters who they felt were out of control.
Well, and, like that's anything earth-shattering, you know?
But I mean, would you go on television? Or if you had an affair, for example, your wife would drag you on television and complain about you on national television. And this guy, he went out with this woman, and this woman was my sister, and they go on and on. I can't imagine that people say absolutely anything. I can't believe
it. Is it the power of television, or is it their need to expose themselves? If you don't mind what I'm saying,
Watch yourself, for God's sake. No, I don't know what it is. I maybe we're all exhibitionists. Maybe... That moment in glory, we're willing to sell ourselves out totally just
to get on.
Was it instead
of Andy Warhol? We each have 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, it was Andy Warhol. But to get on television and discuss really personal things like that, I can't believe that. I didn't. The only reason I cheated on her was I only cheated five times. And I don't understand that. Anyway, I'll be back later on. But first...
I had three things on my mind. The first thing I wanted to know, I meant to ask Sid Whitaker if he has relatives in New London, Connecticut, because I have relatives in New London, Connecticut whose name is Whitaker.
I'll ask him. You have relatives in New London, Connecticut, Sid?
His father grew up in Westport, Massachusetts, or Westport, Connecticut, you mean? Yeah, Westport, Connecticut. He saw those terrible records.
I know. My dad loved him.
No, a lot of older people. I know some young people who like him. I never could understand that.
I know. He gives me sugar diabetes.
Yeah, I know. I suppose, as we say, to each his own, said he, coming up with a clever twist of the phrase. What are the other two questions?
Oh, the other two. You know, I was listening to that All Women's Birthday game last Sunday, which, by the way, it's too bad you couldn't sell tapes of that to benefit a hospital or something. I'd love to. That was a beautiful game.
Oh, thank you.
That game, there was a Linda on that. Was that Linda Chase?
Yes, Linda was here.
Yeah.
She was here last, what day was that? Sunday, I guess. Was it Sunday? No, it wasn't Sunday.
Oh, no, she was on Saturday on a quiz in the studio. That was was a trivia thing. I'm talking about Sunday on the birthday game.
No, that was not. No, it was not Linda Chase. No.
Oh, because you were talking about you were having a disagreement about the way jazz is played, and she was talking about old jazz being played with electronics, and she called it acid jazz or something. And
sounds like Linda Chase. I don't remember her doing the birthday game with us. She was on a music quiz that
right.
we had.
That was Saturday morning.
Yeah, no, that was Linda Chase. No, she was not back on again in that other role, no.
Oh, because it was a real funny game. You had Judy from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
She was making fun of Harrisburg. That was cute. And the other thing I wanted to call about, funny, my buddy Pete from Lawrence had called earlier. I went to school with him. And if he's listening, hi, Pete. He was talking about the hobo and the Halloween thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's funny, David Brudnoy did a show on that last night. Apparently, there's a controversy on that. Some people think it offends homeless people. You know, the term homeless.
Oh, yeah, well, there's the that was as a result of a school that had issued a memorandum. They said it wasn't something you had to follow, but they were offering it as a suggestion. Certain costumes they thought kids ought not to wear. I thought that was kind of silly. I thought they'd gone a little too far.
Yeah, they pushed the envelope. But the reason I'm looking for, I've been looking for years for a Darth Vader costume for myself.
I would think they'd be available.
I don't know where you could get costumes anyway. I mean, I live in Bright Cleveland Circle, but I don't know.
Well, then just check the your Yellow Pages.
Oh, I can't.
Well, I mean, if you get somebody to check them for you, there are costume firms that are listed there. There are quite a few of them, especially in Boston, the Boston area. There'd be a number of them because they cater to theatrical companies and all that kind of stuff. And I would think you could find anything you wanted to find. It's a question. I have no idea what they would charge you to rent these things, but they would be available, I'm sure.
Well, it's probably too late for me to get one this year, but I've been trying to get one every year for 8 years, and I just...
You know. Well, I don't know. I would imagine there may still be some available if you get some help for somebody to help you get them. Even at this stage of the game, you know, first thing in the morning,
See, I stay up all night to listen to you, and then I go to sleep.
But now you can do that before you go to sleep. Then you'll have your Darth Vader costume, and then you can sleep peacefully till you get up in the evening and you can wear it.
Oh, I see. Then my schedule will be totally inverted, but I'll be wide awake. My circadian rhythms will be screwed up.
Well, you wouldn't want to screw them up. Oh, that'll just throw you off.
I know.
Okay, Glenn, right. I hope it's a good weekend for you, whatever costume you wear or don't wear.
All right, thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. You could go, I guess, with no costume at all and go as, I don't know what, the naked man. That was a dumb thing for me to say, wasn't it? Lisa.
Yes.
How you doing, Lisa?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I was just listening to your birthday game. I had to tell you that add a little information about Ruth Hussey. She is from Providence, Rhode Island, and Hussey was her maiden name, or is her maiden name. She married a man named Longnecker.
A name what?
Longnecker, Longnecker.
Okay.
And they lived in California, last I heard. And she's a graduate. She graduated around 1934 from Brown University.
Okay, so she spent a lot of time in Rhode Island, right up to college graduation.
Well, I think she went to Hollywood shortly after graduation and she became quite a popular film star at that time.
I know she was, and I know I've seen a lot of her movies, and they just didn't occur to me. I couldn't think of what they were.
She was in the Philadelphia Story, I believe, with Katharine Hepburn.
Oh.
She was the other woman, you know, and
yeah.
What's his name? James Stewart, I believe, was one of the men, and I think maybe Cary Grant or someone was the other one. I forget who the other one was.
Yeah, that was a classic movie.
She was the reporter, the woman reporter in that, and she was in several other things. But her hussy was her maiden name.
Okay, because she was born with a different name.
What do you mean?
According to this, let me look that up. This one gives the, says here, Ruth Hussey, born Ruth Carol O'Rourke in Providence, Rhode Island.
Well, I don't know how that would be because I knew her sister, and her sister's name was Hussey, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never heard of her being O'Rourke. I think that's a mistake.
It could very well
Unless
be.
Unless she was adopted or something, but I never heard that. And she looked just like her sister, so I don't think she was.
No, I have no idea. Just in the little book I have here, that's
I think
it says
that's
that.
Wrong.
Okay.
Maybe her mother's name was that or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
There's not much information in the book about her, just that and the fact that she is from Providence.
Well, when she graduated from college, she was Ruth Hussey.
And, well, she'll always be.
And everyone wondered why she would keep that name because it wasn't such a beautiful name, Hussey, as a movie star, but she wanted to keep her own name.
Yeah, she was an attractive lady, so
really?
She still is, I guess, because I guess she's still alive.
Yeah, I haven't heard of her acting in recent years, but of course she's 79.
Yeah.
So I just thought you might like to know those little points.
I did want to know those little points, and I appreciate you passing them along, Lisa, and I thank you very much.
All right. Good
thank
night.
You. Bye-bye. Okay, how about if we go to Larry in the town of Westboro. Hi, Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. Fine, thank you.
How's the fair city of Boston doing this morning?
I don't know. I'm only in one little room.
How's the one little room in
the
city
room,
of Boston?
The little room is doing okay. I suppose the rest of the city, I haven't heard, it has blown up or anything. So I assume it's okay.
Great. We had, I'm up in Worcester tonight. We had a fire. But nothing like 150,000 acres. I can't imagine that type of area.
Well, they have that problem each year. There's so much open country, not open country, but the wooded area in an area where it gets very, very dry and very, very windy. And after periods of no rain and all, I mean, it's a tinderbox out there. Almost every year you hear of fires there wiping out tons of homes. Somebody was suggesting the zoning must be very bad, or they ought to do something about that because people keep building their homes in areas that are very much susceptible to that kind of thing.
Well, as long as there's insurance companies in the United States of America and every
Well, a lot of insurance companies won't keep insuring you, or they'll charge us very expensive premiums if you're in an area that is that hazardous. You know, so you really can't win in a deal like that.
No, I'd agree with you. Hey, what's this blurb I hear? I'm in the 25 to 44-year-old male age category.
Uh-huh.
Did you read the report on AIDS the last couple of days in the Boston Globe about that? That we're the number one killer of my age group now?
No, I haven't. I mean, every other week there's some new thing about AIDS and the fact that it's spread to other groups and that kind of stuff. No, I hadn't read that. But just be careful, okay, Larry? I want to get going now because you're starting to depress me. Daniel in Somerville. Hi, you're on WBZ.
Hey, what's up, Norman?
Yes, what's that?
I said, what's up, Norman?
Nothing much. What can I do for you, Daniel?
I just want to talk about Halloween.
Sure.
Okay, most people dress up as witches, but they don't understand that witchcraft is a religion. And it's not a bad religion. It's about goodness, about peace and truth. It is not about hurting people and riding around with broomsticks.
That's quite true. I know that's quite true. Are you a witch?
Well, let's just say if I wanted to, I could cast a spell on someone.
Oh, see, now you're going back to the old cliches. You're doing exactly what you said witches don't do.
No, I'm just saying I know. See, the reason I don't is because whatever you do, you'll get it back three times as hard. So
But how could you cast spells? You're talking about witchcraft being a religion and not going around in brooms, and yet you talk about casting spells, which is the stereotype of a witch
and the kind of
thing you're talking against.
No, I know how to cast a spell.
How do you do that?
I don't think that's a good idea to say over the radio.
Well, I mean, I may want to cast a spell, and people might listen to feel like they ought to take something away from this program that's worthwhile. They can say, hey, I heard the Norm Nathan show last night, and I learned how to cast a spell. See, they'll have learned something. What kind of, have you ever cast a spell?
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of things. There's a confusion powder, and basically, like, if you want to get a loan from someone, what you do is you get confusion powder, put it on your hands, shake their hands, come back in an hour, they'll be so confused, they'll give you the loan.
Really?
Yep.
How much of a loan have you gotten from anybody using this technique?
Well, I've gotten money from people.
Yeah?
Yep. I mean, not like millionaires or anything, just like, you know, average people.
Yeah, like a few bucks?
Oh, a couple hundred.
Really?
Yep. So, and also, if you want to get rid of someone, you know, just write the name 7 times, put it in the coconut, throw it in the river, forget about them. Something bad will happen to them, just forget about them.
Something bad, though. They will die, will they, within a day or two?
Well, I mean, just something bad. You just have to just write their name on seven little pieces of paper,
yeah.
Put it in the coconut, throw it in the river, forget about it.
Well, that sounds like a good parlor sport.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah. I know all these sorts of things.
Oh, that's very good, Daniel. I appreciate you sharing them with us. And we don't have the full moon yet, do we? I think Saturday night is the full moon. Morning.
Pleasure to be on WBZ.
It's a pleasure to have you on WBZ.
Why I called is you made mention of the hobo costumes. Maybe some people felt as though they might be negative towards homeless people. And we had something similar to that happen down here. You know the little criminal costumes, the white with the vertical black bars on?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, we had a law passed by the legislature just recently that they felt that the kids were making fun of them by wearing those costumes.
We're making fun of the legislators?
Yeah, that, because in Rhode Island, when you say someone is finishing a 2-year term, you have to ask, is that his term in office or his prison term? And that's
okay.
That's not really a joke.
Okay. No, sometimes it's not too terribly big a joke around here either.
I almost called last week when you had that gentleman putting down Boston and the other lady, you know, putting down Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, well, the guy putting down Boston, he didn't like anything about this place at all. Everything is dirty, it's backward, the sports teams are no good, people are rotten.
Yeah.
Boy, it was really depressing. I kept thinking, I must be some kind of a jerk. I like the place.
I know. I was tempted to call and just tell them that down here in Rhode Island, thousands of mothers every day when they send their kids off to school, they say, study hard and be a success so you can move to Boston when you grow up. we don't even strive in the second generation for Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We figure you don't make that until the third or fourth generation.
you were born in Rhode Island.
I was born and lived here for 50 years.
Oh, you're not in. Oh, that's right. You're not in Rhode Island now.
Oh, yes, I am. Yeah.
Oh, so you've never really cared to get out of Rhode Island, now, or couldn't?
I have traveled around the country. I've traveled around in other parts of the world, but it's a situation. And actually, I say this with all seriousness, and many other people feel the same way. We know the degree of corruption. We know about the crooked politicians, but having lived here so long, you know the system, and you know how to work within that system.
And it's home also. It's not easy to get up and just move someplace when you're used to a place that you've lived in for so long. No, I think that's quite true. Although here in Massachusetts, people sort of get up a little more often, and they go up to New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Salem, New Hampshire, usually the southern fringe of New Hampshire is composed of people who would dishearten Massachusetts people and run across the border and then stand there and throw rocks back at this state.
Yes.
I think they're kind of silly, but that's the way they are.
Yep.
If you're going to move to New Hampshire, at least move up in the mountains or on the seacoast or someplace that's kind of fun.
I don't a good many people who move to southern New Hampshire work in Massachusetts?
Yes, many of them do. Many of them do, yeah. They come back to Massachusetts all the time because there are more jobs here than there ever were in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad. I have a daughter who lives in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is why I've got a prejudice toward the seacoast area, because I think that's a lovely part of New Hampshire, that whole area. And she's the only person I know who has a car she lives in New Hampshire and has her car registered in Massachusetts. That shows you the business sense of people in my family.
Yeah.
It's always the other way around.
Yeah, usually we have the people down here in Rhode Island, or people who live in Rhode Island here, who have summer homes up in New Hampshire, usually have the cars registered up there to avoid the taxes down here.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was very good speaking to you, Norman. Enjoyed the dumb birthday game. By the way, one of these years you're going to run out of, you know, people and birthdays. And I kind of have this vague idea forming in the back of the mind. Maybe you can have the obscure person of the, you know, description, the Lithuanian postmaster, if you will. What does he look like? How many warts does he have?
Oh, that, yeah, okay. All right. Maybe that'll be our next move.
Good enough.
Hey, thanks a lot for calling. Good to talk to you, Jim.
You take care.
Yeah, bye-bye. Okay, let's see. How about, oh, it's Rob. How you doing, Rob? Good morning.
Oh, how you doing, Bob? Hello?
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah.
Was that acting you were just doing? Like, boy, I'm acting like I've been waiting on a line for 1,000 years and I'm snoring and I just fall asleep. Because you haven't been waiting.
It's strange because I'm calling you for one reason.
Yeah?
After hearing about that Tommy Floremo's restaurant, I went there.
Yeah?
I went there the other day. I took my mother there. What a place. I mean, you know, I was especially, you know, curious to find out barbecue lamb chips. You know, I wanted to find out what that was. I had that. My mother, she had the prime rib.
Mm.
And I mean, the barbecue lamb chips, and the guy ain't lying, they melt in your mouth. And I mean, they're not even chips. You know, like, I would consider, like, steak chips or lamb chips, something like that. Like, you know, like small kind of portions of meat, you know, bite size.
Yes.
These are like big hunks of lamb.
Yeah, I didn't have that. I've eaten in there a couple of times, and I thought the food was very good, but I was afraid of what you were going to say, because people have different tastes, and I know that you're a gourmet.
It was totally excellent, and I made sure that I told the waiter, I says, you know, well, Bill Marlowe sent me. You know, I just kidding around on the thing. Then he gave me free dessert.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Great.
And the prime, here's the funny thing. The prime rib my mother got, she couldn't eat it all. She had, it was so huge. She saved, she brought half home in a doggy bag.
Yeah, see, it's funny. They don't call them doggy bags anymore, do they? They actually give you a styrofoam package. And you don't say it's a doggy bag or it's for my dog. You admit it's for you. I do that all the time.
Yeah. Well, he knew that, you know, she wasn't going to throw it away because I was still a lot on the plate. When we got home, I had a few pieces at late night, you know, snacked on it. I brought some to Rourke with me the next day, and then she ate the other half. The rest of it for her dinner the following night.
I know, that's great. I gotta have to go because we have news coming up. I'm glad to hear from you, Rob, and I'm glad where things worked out well.
Everyone, try Tommy Floremo's.
Okay, Floremo.
It's a good place.
Okay, bye-bye, Rob. You're tuned to WBZ Boston. I'm proud of you because I know all the other things you could be doing right now. The same way.
That's right.
In the fall, we put the other story in. Oh, late for church. Sunday we do, oh, early for church. Hey, you forgot to turn your clock back. And, of course, we always tell where they have been on standard time right along throughout the summer, so they don't do anything with their clocks. And we wonder, like, part of Indiana is in the Eastern time zone. And there's some about them, part of Indiana is in one zone and part is in another zone, even though they're both in the Eastern time zone. And like that, residents of few areas do not need to worry about turning the clocks back because they did not bother to go on daylight time last spring. That's Arizona, Hawaii, the part of Indiana in the Eastern time zone, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and American Samoa. But why am I telling you this? Also, fiery safety experts urge people. I'll tell you some other time. Those are really boring. Why am I reading boring stories like that?
I don't know.
I do because the lines were all open and there's nothing else to do. But they're not all open now. We do have some open lines, though. 254-1030, area code 617. And we're going to talk to Betty, who's in Sudbury. Hi, Betty.
Hi. I was wondering, I'm the music teacher. Did you get my note?
I know. When did you send it? This week? Because
I sent it last Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah. No, I have not See, I don't come in. I haven't been in until
so
this past day, so I haven't checked.
To look to your mail.
Yeah, I have not checked the mail yet. I will do that when I get off the air.
Okay.
And over the weekend. So I remember talking to you about dressing your. Was it the
seventh grade?
The seventh grade class. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I finally got a chance to check this with my principal yesterday, and boy, is he a fan of yours from way back.
Is he really? Isn't that nice?
He said he and his wife used to dance to your music many years ago.
Well, listen, that's very, very nice. I'm pleased. I'd be looking forward to seeing him. As I mentioned, we talking about me giving a jazz talk to the
right.
to the seventh graders.
Right.
Who would be 12 years old, and the thing that worried...
Well, 12 and 13.
Yeah, in that age, and the only thing that was holding me back was trying to figure out whether I could give some kind of a talk that would make sense to them and whether they would be interested. And it's interesting, some other people called afterwards, after we talked, and said, yeah, they would be, they know more about it than you think they know and all that kind of stuff. I hope that's so.
Yeah, you know, they get introduced to their fathers who were our jazz fans, mostly fathers, so the kids in my classes have been telling me this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and my department head has been getting a lot of calls wondering if some of them could attend.
Oh, really? You mean if I would be there? You mean people actually talking about it?
Yeah.
Who said he with false modesty?
Husband, who has asthma and can't be home until Thanksgiving, says, don't have him till I get home.
Oh, wait, now where is he now?
Oh, he has to go to Canada every year.
Oh, that's right. I remember you mentioned that.
Because of the St. John area, the fog comes in and cleans out the air every morning.
Oh, he must have a real bad case of it,
yeah.
Then, doesn't he? Poor
yeah.
soul. Yeah. Okay, no, I, as I mentioned to you, I would really like to do it. I think it would be fun. And the only reason I'm hesitating at all is just to see whether or not I can get something put together that I think kids in that age bracket would enjoy, because I just don't want to be one of these poopy guest speakers who comes in and the kids sit there and say, I wish he would get through and I wish he'd shut up.
Well,
holy God.
I think that what my suggestion, but I'm not telling you what to do.
No. No, you're the teacher. Your suggestions mean a whole lot to me. I would appreciate them.
I would suggest that you have like a 25-minute maybe presentation and then sort of throw it open to questions and that sort of thing, so
sure.
that people could, because of course there's two emphases here. One, the jazz, and the other is that I'm talking to the children about careers that have to do with music, but you are not a performer.
That's true, although I am, did you know I'm taking piano lessons? I really am. I did take them once before, but I'm taking them again from a friend of mine who's very, very patient.
My roommate's husband, who's a Methodist minister, started taking piano lessons when he was about 60, and is really having a ball.
All right, well...
Something he always wanted to do.
I'm certainly in that age category, but I took when I was a kid, and then I went back a few years ago and took some lessons for a while from a jazz musician. And then I dropped out, I'm back again. So it's kind of my third try at it, and I'll never be good. You know what? Come closer. I don't want everybody to hear this,
right.
Betty. But my ambition is, one day I'll be playing in a club, and people say, "See that drunk up there at the piano playing for liquor, playing for booze."
That's your excuse for making mistakes.
Yeah, that's Norm Nathan. He used to be a decent, law-abiding, kind of interesting guy on radio, sort of semi, some of the time. The poor soul has sunk into the depths. He's now playing in these sleazy bars for drinks.
Well, I was interesting. Later last week, Jenna Rosa called, and that was the first I knew that her husband was a professional violinist.
Yes.
And that her son was a principal.
Yeah, I hadn't known about the son.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I will check the check all the stuff that you wrote over this weekend.
Yeah, well, I didn't put a lot in the letter. I thought it was more important that we talk by phone.
Okay.
And sort of to get times and when you had your calendar and I had my calendar.
Okay, no, we'll talk about that too, sure. And I'll just want to did you want me to talk about radio too?
Yes.
As a career?
As a Yes, and in connection with, like, what is available today, because the field has changed.
It sure has. Yeah, it sure
has. And because I hear people talking about the fact that so much of radio now is canned, and that's too bad.
Yeah.
Because I think you lose the spot. You know, there's something different about a live talk show, for example, as compared to someone who is taped.
Yeah, well, there are even some, excuse me, live, what some people complain about, too, would be the live shows that are on at night but are coming from a network, so they're not local shows. WBZ is one of the few that has local programming 24 hours a day. I think that's remarkable.
Yeah, Bob Raleigh tied up with someone, I've forgotten where it was, but Midwest, I think, that does a live program. And they're getting good ratings, too. Now,
yeah.
You'd think they'd understand that if they got good ratings, that some more people are listening.
Well, some stations would sacrifice good ratings for saving money, you know, because they figure, well, you know, they try to weigh one against the other, and they figure they could save more money by tying in with a network or some syndicated thing. Then maybe they come out in the long run, even though their ratings are not as good. I don't know what the thinking
is,
but
like in movies. What are the movies that have really made the big bucks over the last 10 years? They're things that are not violent, are not obscene. And
well,
you think that people, I mean, their excuse is that we got to have them really dirty in order to make money.
Well, in some cases, some violent movies have done well. I'm thinking of some of the Schwarzenegger movies, some of the Sylvester Stallone movies have been quite violent. But by the same token, Aladdin,
Beauty
and the Beast, rather. Yeah, they have done okay too, but some of the violent ones also have done well, unfortunately. And,
like E.T. isn't that still the biggest one of all for bringing money in?
I don't know. I don't have a list offhand.
That certainly wasn't.
No, I don't. I don't think that's. I think there are movies since then that have.
Past
that, I believe.
Yeah.
So I think one in recent years was Jurassic Park was one of the big ones recently.
Passed it. I guess I haven't.
Jurassic Park has in the all-time number of tickets sold and stuff.
I haven't had
but
time
that's,
to
that,
read the paper lately.
Well, yeah, that's not a violent movie though, in the sense of people getting out shooting each other and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, non-violent things don't do badly either, but there are an awful lot of those violent ones too.
Oh, and I mean, like right now we were talking in the teachers' room, we have the paper open, and all the for Halloween they're really bringing them out of the woodwork.
I've got a story in front of me now. It said the most popular costumes. This is at the Ames department store in Beverly. I don't know whether this is generally true or not.
No.
But they're talking about costumes that are quite popular among kids. Barney among kids, Aladdin.
Oh, yeah, my granddaughter. Barney is the thing.
Well, those are some of the popular ones anyway. Hey, listen, I'll check the mail and check the letter, and I'll call you back.
Okie doke.
Okay, Betty, thanks very much.
Rich chocolate Ovaltine.
When my 6-year-old comes home from school, we have a cup of rich chocolate Ovaltine and we talk about his day. It's the best time of the day for both of us. He likes the rich chocolatey taste of Ovaltine. I like its goodness.
Rich chocolate Ovaltine is a different kind of Ovaltine with a flavor kids love, plus extra vitamins and minerals you won't find in Nestle's Quick or Hershey's.
Kids really drink their milk when it's made with rich chocolate Ovaltine. They love the taste. And if they're like my son, they'll sprinkle it on their ice cream, too.
Rich chocolate Ovaltine with more vitamins and minerals than any other milk flavoring.
It's the Ovaltine made specially for kids. The one in the canister, not the jar.
Rich chocolate Ovaltine. Rich chocolate Ovaltine. Extra delicious. Extra nutritious.
Available in the nutrition section of Walgreens. If you suffer from motion sickness, listen to Arlene Trigg of Coquille, Oregon.
driving on very twisty, turny, scenic routes, I get very nauseated, very sick at my stomach.
It's time you discovered doctor-recommended Marazine. Marazine tablets take the sickness out of travel, help prevent that queasy, nauseous feeling, help treat the dizziness and sickness motion can cause.
Marazine always settled my stomach so well when I flew or traveled by car where I knew it was going to be a twisty, turny road. I have recommended it to everybody that has mentioned that they might get a little motion sickness.
Marazine contains a medically proven ingredient no other leading motion sickness tablet has, and Marazine won't cause the marked drowsiness Dramamine may cause.
Marazine has made it possible for me to travel with pleasure, enjoy the view, enjoy going on trips, which I used to just hate.
Marazine, Marezine. Marazine tablets take the sickness out of travel. Use only as directed. Available at all Brooks drugstores.
I wonder, that fellow, the young fellow who's calling and said, you know, witchcraft is not the witches are on broomsticks and all that. It's a religion, and kind of that kind of stuff. Then he said he could cast spells. So I wondered, if he cast a spell that made you nauseous, would that be called potion sickness? And then I went, that sounds like Jack Hart, doesn't it? I'm not too proud of that one. Or if you cast, if you rubbed some hand cream and you broke out in a rash, would that be lotion sickness? And then I began, my mind sort of wandered into that point. You're probably thinking of them right now, aren't you, Mike? Absolutely. You're laughing at me and you're snickering and saying, isn't that hokey? But you're thinking of it yourself.
I am.
Okay, we'll go to the phone now. If I can, unless I can think of one more. Anyway, Maria, New Hampshire. Hi, Maria.
Hi. I'm politically incorrect because I'm going to go to Pocahontas tonight.
I'm sorry. You're politically incorrect because you're doing what? Oh, you're going to Pocahontas?
Yeah.
Is that politically incorrect, Pocahontas?
I think so.
Well, why would that be? Because it's a Native American.
Native Americans, yeah.
Well, that's right.
Cool to do that.
Yeah, but you'll go as a.
That's cute on me.
Yeah, but you'll be a but you'll go as a beautiful lady. You won't be demeaning her memory or anything.
Well, apparently that's one of the things that's outlawed in Iowa.
Oh well, not really outlawed. They sent a memo to the parents, you know, suggesting frowned upon. Yeah, I thought that whole memo was ridiculous anyway.
Completely.
Yeah, I mean, if kids do something politically incorrect or they. I mean, they ought to answer themselves without the school telling them what they suggest they do or not do. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Now, the other thing is that I was in Boston Gardens with my parents in the late summer, and we were talking to a trooper, and we were having a good laugh and a joke and all. And then these other people came up, and they said, would you take a photo of us? Because we never had a photo of the whole family thing, and they had, like, five generations, I think, there. And my mother just sent the photographs back to me and with a letter saying, you know, will you post them off to this chap, you know? And he was like 93, the great-grandparent.
Huh.
And terrific guy, really nice, really, and very dapper, you know?
Yeah.
Very nicely dressed. And so then my mother said, or you could deliver it in person in between your scene. And I thought, she's finally lost it, you know. What does she mean about your singing, you know? Anyway, these people have decided, I don't know where from, that I was a singer because I look kind of glamorous looking.
Are you a glamorous looking lady?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you're an attractive lady. That's nice.
I get people to do what I want to do. Let's put it that way. I can manipulate people.
As Pocahontas, what are you going to wear as Pocahontas? Are you going to show off your glamour as Pocahontas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? How do you do that? What, a little slit skirt and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Fringe skirts up to the fire.
Are you going to a party?
Yeah.
Oh, you must obviously go to a costume party. That was a silly question. Oh, you're going to knock him
and
dead.
And then I'll be in Faneuil Hall afterwards. You have to go there now. When you finish your show, it's still carrying on.
At Faneuil Hall?
Well, the first close, I think, about 3 o'clock.
Yeah, you're talking Saturday night, though.
Yeah.
I'll be on until Yeah, that's, well, five this morning, but tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, which is the end of the Halloween night before, with the night you're talking about, I still go to 4:20 or something like that, and that'll all be over by then, will it not?
It isn't.
You mean at Fennel Hall, it's still going on?
I think it's supposed to close about 3, but then you start falling on to different places.
Oh, so I can fall into some place in Boston at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Things will still be going on?
Yeah, we don't come home till about 7.
When you talk about, well, you're married, right?
Yeah.
So you'll be going with your husband.
Yes.
Is he a good-looking guy?
Yes, he is.
Now, does he get jealous over the fact that you're glamorous and people at the, you know, people fall all over you?
People fall all over him, too.
Well, do you get jealous of him, then?
No. We're just not into that.
So you're used to each other in that sense.
We've been married 20 years, and everybody thinks that we're newlyweds.
Son of a gun. son of a gun, Maria. What's your husband?
Cool still.
what's your husband's name?
Mike.
Mike and Maria.
You know. He just wrote us a letter last week.
What's that?
You know, you just wrote us a letter last week.
Oh, you're that Mike and Maria. Okay. Okay, I got you. Oh, yeah, I got you. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Now, if I'd have been in town, I would have taken you out for dinner. But I was in Montreal.
Are we in Montreal this last week?
Uh-huh.
It's a lovely city. I love
it
Montreal.
It is. Brilliant.
Yeah, it is a nice...
Full of life,
full of guts, full of heart,
but, you know,
full of a million stories.
They've closed up already all of the sidewalk cafes and stuff, you know, on the old town.
Well, it's getting kind of cold.
They've decided it's winter, yeah.
Yeah, it is getting a little cold for that. But it's very much of an outdoor city like that in the summertime. A lot of those lovely outdoor places. You know, Boston never had any sidewalk cafes up till a very few years ago, and now they've sprung up all over the place.
Newbury Street and all, yeah.
Yeah, and other
Brilliant.
Places. I think that's great. I remember when I was going to Paris at one point, seeing them, these sidewalk cafes, and thinking, boy, we're so backward. Why don't we ever have those? And we do, and there's something really nice about that.
It is. You sit out with your friends, and, you know, you get a few rays.
You get a few rays. That's hip talk for sun. Okay. I'm a little slow because I'm trying to be a 90s man. And if a few rays is the way you say it, that's the way I'm going to say it too, Maria. I hope you have a great weekend. And if you'd care to call me any time and tell me what you did for Halloween and how it went.
Okay.
I would appreciate it.
I've got a ton of candy here. And it seems to me, I mean, friends that I've met around the corner today and, you know, that I was delivering things to for Halloween, you know, little Halloween gifts. And friends that usually go wild. You know, I've done nothing this year. You know, one particular friend, I mean, she has usually cobweb, you know, the fake spider webs and stuff all over her.
Oh yeah.
And she's got that thing where as soon as you go into the drive, it activates the music and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was mentioning that earlier. There are a lot of parents who just go crazy. They just love Halloween because they decorate the whole front porch.
She goes absolutely wild, and she has absolutely nothing this year, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that maybe people aren't expecting to do very much this year. So all my candy I'll send to you, Sid and Mike.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot.
Left over. Okay.
Have a good weekend.
And I also have like a big box that I'm going to send to the soup kitchen, and I think that other people, you know, if they're listening, maybe they could do something.
Oh,
that would be
a very nice thing to do. That would be an excellent thing to do, Maria. You're okay. You're not only glamorous, but you got a big heart. You're okay.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Night, no.
Night, Maria.
WBZ gets results for thousands of New England businesses. If you're interested in growing your business, listen to this.
This is Rick Hassler, president of Duplitron, Panasonic's largest copier and fax dealer in America. Duplitron is especially proud of being included in Inc. 500 as one of America's fastest growing companies. Duplitron features an 800 number in all of our radio commercials. We track our calls and know exactly where our leads come from. Many times they come directly from our ads on WBZ News Radio. In fact, more than once we have sold several new copiers and fax machines to new clients who heard our ad on WBZ. By advertising on WBZ News Radio, Duplitron reaches our target audience very successfully.
WBZ has been a very powerful station, which has helped us achieve real marketplace presence and consistent sales growth. WBZ lends credibility to our company and our award-winning service department. Duplatron is committed to excellence on all levels. This is why you'll continue to hear Call Mr. Duplatron on WBZ News Radio.
Call Mr. Duplatron.
New England is sold on WBZ News Radio 1030. As a proud sponsor of November is National Geography Month, Amtrak has joined WBZ to present a Geography Bee to Washington, D.C. That's right, it's your chance to win a dream vacation for four to the nation's capital. Join the Kid Company crew on Saturday, November 6th from 5 to 7 p.m. for an on-air Geography Bee. The winner will ride the rails on the adventure of a lifetime. So dust off your atlas, cause it's a Geography Bee to Washington, D.C. Saturday, November 6th on Kid Company. Only from Amtrak. There's something about a train that's magic. And WBZ News Radio 1030.
Hey, that's Bill Lawrence who said that, and he's about to say a lot more as he reports the news with the whole WBZ news crew coming up in about a half a minute. And we'll be back tonight at 11 and be with you all through the night. We'll turn the clock back together, and well, it'll be just so darn much fun. So on behalf of our producers, Mike Epstein and Sid Whitaker and the lovely Marilyn Goralnik, myself, the almost good-looking Norm Nathan person, I hope today turns out to be a nice day for you. We'll see you tonight at 11. Bye-bye, old sport, from WBZ.
When the music stops, it's time to switch over to WBZ.
Let me take this moment to thank you, the listeners, both past and present, for being an integral part of our lives back then and for your kind words and comments now. I can't believe it's been a year. Onward we go, mining deeper into the vault to discover more great radio. From Norm Nathan. Let's close the vault for this week and ride the radio waves home. For Upper Bucks County, Pennsylvania, Mount Forest in the country formerly known as Canada, Orson Welles and the Power of Radio, witches, spells, ghouls and goblins, Halloween costumes of all kinds, playing piano for free drinks, Arlene Trieg, motion, potion, and lotion sickness, rich chocolatey Ovaltine, Mr. Duplatron, Eastern Standard Time, Sid Whitaker, Mike Epstein, Jack Hart, and Norm the Agile Wordsmith Nathan. And again, to all of you, thank you and happy Halloween. I'm Tony Nesbitt.